My name's Sarah and welcome to our next podcast. And today we have Paul from Sir Fix-A-Lot. So welcome, Paul. But before we start, what is your favourite cocktail?
I'd have to be Sacrilege, which I do down in Tagamont downtown. It's called Sacrilege because it's a mixture of whiskey and bourbon.
Oh.
Which sounds disgusting, but I tell you what, it is. They put some sours in it and it's just an incredible drink.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So as in like cherry sours or...?
I don't know what type of sours it is, no sours in it, but it's only a little bit, combination, the sacrilege of mixing whiskey and bourbon together, and I wouldn't normally drink anything like that, but what they mix it with just makes it very smooth and drinkable on its own. It's not a harsh drink.
Okay.
So I like it. And it is smoked cask as well, so there's a bit of theatre to it as it's arising.
Okay, so a bit of a dramatic cocktail.
Always worth a video.
Okay, right. Who are you and what do you do?
I'm Paul Montgomery and I am a locksmith here in Plymouth.
Okay. And is this an industry that you chose, or did the industry choose you, or did you choose the industry?
I chose the industry, and it was as I was about to begin transition into Sibley Street from the military. So it was 3 years. Right. So I hadn't even started my official resettlement. Somebody put the seed in my head, so I looked at it, managed to get LCAS for it, but I had to pay all the accommodation, travel and food myself, because obviously I hadn't hit the settlement, so I chose the career, and when I finished the course, I thought I might as well start trading straight away. Being a skill, you've got to keep it up, and luckily I was in a position where I could do that.
Okay.
Transition slowly into Sibley Street.
Yes, so that was a big transition really the military side of things.
Big in time, but not big in impact, because it was such a long journey into it, and it meant when I left the military I was actually running, sprinting rather than trying to crawl my way out. So yeah, big in time, but it was smaller than anything else.
Okay.
It was a perfect transition.
Good. So you mentioned the military, so is this something that you wanted to do when you were 16? I know we're of a generation where we could leave at 16. But is this something you wanted to do? Did you want to go into the military, or is that again?
I think I was always going to go in the military. I grew up obviously in Northern Ireland when the Troubles were on, and the army were everywhere on the streets. You were getting stopped all the time in vehicle checkpoints when you're in your parents' cars and stuff like that. So we'd seen that everywhere, and it wasn't a nice place to be back then, growing up in the 70s and 80s, seeing it. So I wanted to get out of Northern Ireland, and the army was my ticket into that. So it was the first thing that was in my head, the only thing that was in my head, and that's what I chose to do.
Did you have any maybe dream careers of an astronaut as well when you were growing up, or has it always been?
Nope, I want to join the army.
Always been that way.
I didn't even know what I wanted to join. I went to the careers office, and they're obviously short of truckers. And they were saying, do you want to get Yorkie bar? You want to be a trucker? And we want Yorkie bars, yeah. So that was it, off to join the RCT as a trucker, you know, because it was just at the time, just wanted to get away and being green and see a different life.
Yeah. So what are the best bits about your job now that you do, that you enjoy?
Being everyone, because you go out there, there's someone locked out, or they need a security upgrade, or they need the lock chains for whatever reason, or they're locked in. You get satisfaction that you're helping people all the time, being there for them and seeing the smiles as you've got it done.
So normally the start is a bit of a panic driven.
Not for me, for the customer.
Yes.
I suppose panic for me when I first started out, because you're unsure of your skills and it takes a long time to get the experience to come up. So I don't panic anymore, and neither do my employees. They've been given the best tools and the best training.
And you just deal with the customers that are panicking when they've got keys left in cars.
They're
and
panicking, and I put them at ease before I even arrive.
Not that I've ever left my keys in my car. My friend did once, and I think I learned from her experience, because we did it on a night out. So when we come back from clubbing and we come back to the car, and it's just like, can't get in the car, what do we do now at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Well, I've done the same myself, which is probably one of the funniest things, well, for everyone else, not for me. Whenever I left my keys in my van on a job, parked on a high street on a pavement as well, and I had to call someone, and he came out, and he was quite discreet. He parked around the corner and got in and left it, and I said, obviously, we'll keep this discreet, it's not a problem. And 10 minutes later, I had a call from another locksmith, and I knew what the call was about before it even gone. He obviously he didn't keep it quiet, did he? And then I got out there, I'd lock my own keys in.
Oh, no. Well, it has to be done, I think, at some point.
Yes.
Okay, so what advice would you give somebody out who's either starting out on a new career or their career, or transitioning from maybe military to a career? What's your best careers advice?
I would say try and get your job right. Don't just take a job because it's there. You're not going to be comfortable unless you know that it is a short stepping stone until you get what you want. Try and get the qualifications to do what you want to do and be driven towards that. Don't let anyone tell you can't do it, because you only get one stab at life and you've got to be happy. So just make sure that what you're doing is really what you want to do and stick to it, you know. And if you're not enjoying what you're doing, change it, because you are the only person who's stopping that change. No one else is.
Yeah.
If you turn around and say, I can't quit because of this, then you told yourself that you can't change. You can change.
Yes.
It's up to yourself.
I did it when I was younger. I got into a sales role, and I think within the first 2 or 3 weeks, I realised that I'm not a salesperson. But I think it then took me a couple of months to actually kind of get the balls together to actually go, no, I've made a mistake, I need to get out of this industry.
It's hard to be.
But it's the best thing that I ever did. It was one of those when you come home and you're so unhappy and you're so upset that I know I needed to get out of it. And like you say, when you're unhappy, you just close the book and start a new chapter in a new book and try something else.
It takes courage to do that as well,
yes.
To be able to go around and say to someone, because you feel like you've owed them some loyalty.
Yeah.
And they've trained you, obviously. And if you think about all those things, it's very difficult to tell that person that it's not right for you. But you've got
to
have
that
courage to be strong for yourself, because it's your life, not theirs.
Yes, no, definitely. Okay, so we obviously heard about you being locked out of your vehicle, but what is the funniest thing you've seen in maybe an office environment or a work environment?
Tradespeople who would call you out to get into the lock, and they say, I haven't really had a go myself, but can you have a look? And you arrive to find the door half missing, and you go, I thought you didn't touch it, you know? Oh, well, I just, you know, and the fact they've wrecked the door, it's not funny. Because someone's door's wrecked, but it's funny when you think that I haven't touched it, you know, or they try to tell a little fib, you know, that, oh, the door's done this, and you go, have you forced that? And you go, no. And you go, we have. And I just be honest with the people and tell them to their face.
Okay, so a bit away from career and transitioning and work, is there any conspiracy theories that maybe you believe in?
No, I do read some of them, and some of them do seem plausible when you read into their understanding, what they're trying to push, their narrative. Then I can see why people fall into those traps, but you've got to have, you know, some sort of faith in what your governments are trying to do to you. They're all there to wreck you. It's hard to see when what's happened in recent times with your government lying, but it's no, I don't believe in any conspiracy theories.
No, so nothing that stands out going, well, might be a bit true, the whole aliens landing, and was it Area 51?
I believe 9/11. In aliens. There's no way with what's out there in the universe that we haven't been visited, you know, and I do believe there are other life forms out there. How it gets to this planet, I don't know, because of the distances taken to travel across the vast universe, even our own galaxy. I believe we did land on the moon. I believe September 11 did happen, you know. I have nothing really to believe in conspiracy theories.
Yes, okay. So, if you have the world's attention for 30 seconds, what message or what would you like to say to the world?
Read The 5 Regrets of the Dying. They had a profound impact on my life. It's worth Googling, taking 1 minute of your time to go and read The 5 Regrets of the Dying. And that's for the people who have been about to pass away, and the vast over time, over the years, what have you ever regretted in life the most? And 5 things seem to stand out. So read them and learn to live your life and realise that it's quite precious and it's yours,
yes,
not anyone else's. And go out there and do things that are going to make you happy for the rest of your life. And it's just be nice as well. Actually, just be nice to the people. If you can't be nice, then keep quiet and don't say anything.
That's very true. And especially with social media, there's a lot of hate and a lot of people that interject their opinions onto people when there's no need for it. And we're all entitled to our opinions on subjects, but if there's no need for it and it's going to cause harm and upset, then...
We're also entitled to keep our mouth shut and realise it's going to cause hurt and just walk away.
Yeah.
Just don't type.
No.
Close the keyboard and walk away.
And it is hard. And that, I think that's a hard thing in life. A lot of people have opinions, and me, for one, I value people's opinions, but my attitude is, you can tell me your opinion, but I don't have to agree.
No.
And just don't force your opinion then on me if I don't agree with it. And people tend to now kind of do try and force it, and especially over social media, they do try and force their opinions onto people, which there's no need for it.
Or even having the courage to say to people, I mean, there's people I know who have a different opinion politically from myself, you know, but I like them for other things, you know. Yeah. We have other things in common, and it's important to talk about things we have in common rather than things that we disagree on.
Yes.
And certainly politically, it's best to sometimes
just
like not talk about that and say, we're not talking about that tonight, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
That. And actually, you're gonna have a good night, you know, where you know your boundaries are.
Yes.
On each side.
Yeah, and that's quite important. Mm. So, another question: if you could interview a famous person, dead or alive, or both, who would it be and for what reason?
I would love to hear, I don't know about interview because I think I'd be too starstruck, but I'd love to hear Freddie Mercury's voice live. Just to hear that, and actually David Bowie as well.
Yeah.
I recently heard an a cappella version of Under Pressure.
Right.
That's another one that go and Google on YouTube there. An a cappella version of Under Pressure, and you can hear their voices, and they are incredible.
Yeah.
And I was never really into them. I mean, it was popular music, but I wasn't like really into them. And I mean, there's a song by the Stranglers called Everyone Loves You When You're Dead. There's never a truer word said, you know. And it's literally, when someone passes, you know, you think you're going to miss that. And that's why it's important.
Yeah.
To grab those things, those, if you see something in life that you want to go and see, a potential, go and do it then, because whenever
yeah.
people go, you're going to regret it, and there's nothing you can do about it after that point. You know,
you need to live in the moment.
Yeah, I think live, I'd love to meet Dave Grohl. Like, he's just brilliant.
Right.
I read his book, and he's just 1,000 miles an hour. He's just professional. Everything, do it all or don't do it, you know. But he just does it all, and he's so professional. He works so hard, and you can hear it in his book. He's just, it's so passionate about everything, and it rubs off, and you feel like you want to do it as well.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd love to meet Dave Grohl, I think, definitely.
Yeah, no, that's good. Okay, so one of the last sort of bit of not professional questions is, if you could have any superpower, what would it be? Now, this, I know this one is a very tough one for a lot of people, because there are so many different things that they could pick. But if you had to just pick one, what would the one be?
Time travel. To go back and do something again, to make it better, or to do something.
Would you time travel to just your life, or would you time travel 100 years, 150 years?
I think I'd be afraid to go forward to see what's happened to the world, you know. You keep thinking bad things are going to happen, but if it was good, or even go forward to learn.
Yeah.
There might be a little gadget there that can make you fly, and then you can go back in time. Yeah. So you have two.
So that's two, you're just twisting those.
Okay, yeah, so I'm actually going to, might be a little invisible potion to take you to go back in time again to the present, you know.
So the time travel one now has got all the superpowers, with strength and everything else, all these little potions that you can take.
Yeah, I think times, because everyone would like to fly, but you can't fly. I've got a power motor, so I'm going to fly if I want to.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's with a contraption. I can't make myself invisible, but I get to put camouflage and hide in certain scenarios. But the things in life that you regret, and those things always come back and play in your mind,
yes.
and you hear it, you know, it can put a little bit of adrenaline through your body. You think, oh, did I say that years ago? And it's very embarrassing. So time travel, to go back in time and put it right, I think would be a great
yeah.
superpower, because you can do good with that as well.
You can, and there's always that whole 10 minutes, half an hour later, or even half a day later, you're like, I wish I should have said this. Or, this was the best answer for that question. Instead of my stupid response, this was how I should have responded.
Exactly.
To that question.
So
okay, so what we'll do, I'll bring it a little bit back to your career side. Is there anything you would like to share, or is there anything happening, or anything exciting coming up? We haven't touched on the swimming, which I meant to touch on a bit earlier, because you're kind of known for dipping in the cold waters and swimming in the sea, which is my biggest fear, is swimming in the sea, which I keep looking at, and I'm like, oh, I'd love to do that, but it's that initial. coldness, should I say.
It's I got so much happening in my life at the moment. Certainly the swimming is a great thing. It's good for your mental health as well as a bit of physical working. About it, what it does to your body, that cold water submersion, but what it does to your mental health as well.
Yes.
I just can't put in the words how good it is, and the people we go swimming with are just brilliant. We get a really good bunch of people coming. It's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Not necessarily jumping into the water, because it's horrible, but yeah. You know, when we're in there meeting up and going for a coffee afterwards and clearing the mind, that's just so much fun and positive help. It's been a mad week. I've had an operation on my back last week. So you get a nerve block done, I got put out for that one. I've had a diagnosis of prostate cancer last week, which was a very difficult one to deal with. But literally, that's about a week ago, and that's coming mentally better now. I think
slowly
it was hard to deal with, but that was a big thing in my life. I do yoga a lot more now. I find that just brilliant to the body. Difficult to start with, but what it does to the mind and the body.
Yes.
Again, it's just such a sort of meditation thing, because the girl who does it with us, she's a beastmaster. And you're always out of breath at it, and it's just fantastic.
Yoga,
building the strength up, and you know, and feeling good.
Yeah, I used to do yoga, and is it the warrior pose position?
Yes.
And I always remember doing it, and kind of my legs started the top of my thigh, and within a couple of weeks, you like your legs down to your calf, and you don't realise what you're doing to your body just by standing in a position for however many seconds. It feels like hours sometimes you stand in the positions, and it is amazing. I never, because I just thought, oh, yoga's just stretching. It's just a relaxation thing. And then you realise, actually, and then a couple of weeks later, it's like, oh, now I can touch my ankle now. Literally, my hand was started at my thigh. So it is, I do need to try and get back into yoga and exercises general.
It's good fun. Physical exercise just does something really good to the body. All the endorphins go through and you start feeling better about yourself. And I think it becomes quite addictive. And then you go on a holiday or something happens in your life, which takes you out. And that's very difficult. I mean, they always say that the hardest thing about physical work is turning up.
Yes.
And that's the hurdle to get over. Once you're there, like with the swimming, and you get into it, and it's the best thing you can do for your body and your mind. You know?
And I suppose, I know there's not, but when you're swimming and you go with a group, there is the peer pressure as well when everybody's jumping in and you're like dipping your toe in of not going in, which is a good type of peer pressure to get you in.
Definitely, you know. Another thing which has happened in our business, we've always done quite well pushing the business into different business awards. We've won the Herald Business Awards for CSR. We've won Veteran Owned Business of the Year and the English Veterans Awards, and we've been finalists in the Soldier Man Awards. But we've just found out this week that we have won the King's Award for Enterprise.
Right.
Under sustainability category, so
that's amazing news.
We'll be off to Buckingham Palace to meet the King himself, because it's his award.
Very good.
In the summer, so that is huge.
Yeah.
Because there's not many companies who have that award at all, and I think there's only literally a handful of companies in Plymouth who have the King's Award. And there's a optics company up there in Langage and City Bus, but so it's huge.
Yeah.
Huge. Thing,
so
which
my
is
question would be, are you going to do the suit or are you going to do your uniform?
Well, I don't have a uniform now, do I?
Your work.
My work uniform.
Yeah.
I maybe put my kilt on, couldn't I?
You could do.
Because I do have my kilt, my Montgomery tartan. So I could wear that. I don't know what I'm going to wear.
See, that's a very girly question, isn't it? Is what are you going to wear to meet the king rather than anything else? It's a very girly question.
It is, I don't know what my wife was going to wear. I don't think she's picked yet, you know. She'll probably wait to decide and see colour match to go into.
Yes, definitely.
Different colours. But yeah, I think I'll go for striking suits or my kilt to stand out there and enjoy the episode, because it's a warm-off, really.
It is, and the whole atmosphere, not just the award, that's for the whole atmosphere and the build-up to it as well is going to be exciting.
Yes.
That is very exciting news. So,
and you're the first to know, so hopefully
you're
privileged.
Thank you for sharing that. It was a very, it is very exciting, and we'll definitely look forward to seeing the pictures of potentially the kilts.
Mm.
Anyway, that's great. Thank you very much for your time, and thank you very much for coming in. I'm glad you seem to be enjoying your cocktail.
That's lovely. Thank you very much, Scott. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Slanty.
Thanks. Bye.